It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you're safe. I hope you're amazing. I hope you are well. Hope you're very well. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to Greg Frank for helping to produce and hold things down. Thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey. They are both in New York City. Wherever you are, thanks for being here. The show will continue on for the next 3 hours. It got started an hour ago. Get started an hour ago every weekday, Monday through Friday. Where have you been? You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you as well to our guest in the first hour, Cameron Salerno, joining us from CBS Sports to talk some college basketball. He thinks Duke can go out there and win it all. A lot of us do. And then also this same time, this second, this minute, we have the third of four first four matchups. We got Mount St. Mary's and the American Eagles. They are tied at 22 with about 10 minutes to go here in the first half. Our final game that will determine our field of 64, Xavier takes on Texas in a few hours from now. We'll keep you up to date on all the March Madness action as it is already underway right here on the Infinity Sports Network. You want to join the show? You can do that too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. It is Wednesday. We've already talked some football, the fact that the Minnesota Vikings do not want Aaron Rodgers, and we'll get back to some more college basketball in a while, too, especially next hour. As I give you my new top six list, we're going to take a look at some of the biggest March Madness upsets ever, ever. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest March Madness upsets ever. We will do that in an hour from now. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. I do want to piggyback on something that we discussed a little bit last hour, or just a few minutes ago, and that's Kirk Cousins. Now that Aaron Rodgers isn't wanted by the Minnesota Vikings, Adam Schefter had a report that Kirk Cousins, well, he could rejoin the Minnesota Vikings. And I don't see that as a marriage that would work. I don't know why Kirk Cousins would want to go back to be a backup. I don't know why the Vikings would want to kick the can on the guy again while you're trying to develop a J.J. McCarthy. It's just rather curious. But there is one place for sure that I know we'll see Kirk Cousins: on Netflix. And no, he doesn't have a comedy special. He's not, you know, acting next to The Rock or Kevin Hart. He's going to be a part of the newest edition Netflix series Quarterback. You might recall a few seasons ago, they did a series with following quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen around. Last year, they followed around some wide receivers. And this time, they put out a trailer where they tease following mascots. But this time, we're going to see Joe Burrow. We'll see Kirk Cousins. And there's one more. We'll see Jared Goff. Hey, listen to this. This is a commercial from Netflix.
The greatest comeback in history. What a grab.
Touchdown.
The key to success is relentless dedication.
Dream big, work hard, and never give up.
We're really trying to chase excellence every day.
Does it get heated? Yeah, it's a high-pressure situation.
Seriously? Mascots?
Is this actually the plan?
You know they don't even talk, right?
We're only gone for one season.
You're not really doing that.
Ridiculous.
Can I make another suggestion? Why don't we just do another season of Quarterback?
I'm in if you're in.
I'm in.
Did you really think Quarterback was going anywhere?
Well, I gotta be honest. I saw 10 minutes of the first edition that they did. I saw like 10 minutes of the first episode and I did not come back for more. I didn't see 1 minute of wide receivers. I think all I remember is Justin Jefferson was in it. And the only reason that I would entertain it this upcoming season, when they start in the summer, is just to see how much of a train wreck things were for Kirk Cousins here in Atlanta. Like, you're following this guy around through the whole season? Like, when he lied about his health and tried to keep his job? When he went out there and threw all of those interceptions? Like, going out there and playing with a quarterback who they ultimately drafted to take his job in Michael Penix Jr.? Like, that'll be the only reason I tune in? Hickey, have you watched the past two seasons with the wide receivers and the QBs? I haven't seen a minute outside of the first episode, ever.
I watched, oh boy, I think I watched the first episode of Receivers, I think.
And then you stopped after that?
Then I stopped. I watched a full quarterback series, but yeah, Receivers I never got into.
Was it good? Quarterbacks was good?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty intriguing. Yeah, I thought it was actually pretty good. It wasn't too long. It was only about like 8 episodes, I think. Okay. It was. And I thought you really got a good behind-the-scenes look, especially Kirk Cousins. I'd say he was a star for sure of that one, not even outshine Patrick Mahomes. But I thought it was interesting. I thought it was really good.
What's the lore? Like, what's the why?
I guess what was nice about that was it was kind of the first, like, true, actual behind-the-scenes look. Like, it wasn't Hard Knocks where it was kind of, like, edited. It was all film. It was all, I should say, team-based. And, like, they had full control. Like, I mean, obviously you have control, but it was nice because I felt like you got more, they were more open to talking. Okay. They gave you honest, honest answers. Like, for example, like, if you recall, I think it was Atlanta, Mariota quit on the team. He basically said, like, once he was benched at the end of the year, he's like, I'm getting surgery, I'm getting out of here. And they showed that, and they asked him about it. So it is, like, one of those things where there was controversy, and they didn't hide from it.
Okay.
They asked him. You can kind of get a behind-the-scenes look. So that, it did feel more honest and a true representation of what a true life of a quarterback is versus kind of just watching a team in Hard Knocks and only getting snippets here and there.
Okay. I'll be paying attention. I mean, but what is the other two guys, if you're asking me, are not interesting. Like, why do I need to hear about Jared Goff? I can imagine all he's going to do is tell us how much he loves Detroit and he has his second chance. I can see that. Like, Kirk Cousins is the only reason to watch this. Am I bugging? And then Joe Burrow is just going to talk about how his defense stinks and he needs to score points. Like, what is he going to talk about? Getting robbed, right?
Well, I'm assuming so, right? Like, I think there are storylines there. I'm fascinated to see how does Kirk Cousins take the benching? You know, how's that going? Was there an injury? I mean, maybe we'll learn after the Saints game. Does he talk about his shoulder? Is he getting worked on? Like, maybe we can get an answer there.
And then what happens when Joe Burrow got robbed, right? Like, that's... Is he going to talk about that? No?
I'm assuming so. All like, right. I think Netflix did a good job of addressing some of the biggest storylines. I think they'll absolutely address it with him, and I'm sure they did it probably a day or two after. So maybe you still get like a raw version of how he feels, which could be interesting.
Maybe that's why Joe Burrow didn't, outside of being violated, maybe that's why he didn't talk about it at the podium that day, is he needed to save the content for his Netflix show. It's a possibility.
Just like modern athletes these days, right? You're always saving it for your own platform. Draymond Green's not giving his best stuff in the press conference. He's giving it to you on the podcast.
Well, like, that guy did sit around yesterday. He talked to the media and said that he deserved to be Defensive Player of the Year, right?
Yes. One of the few times he actually gave his best stuff to the media and not on his own pod.
Well, I'm assuming the next episode. How often does he do that? I feel like he got a new episode every day.
Great question.
Does he do that once a week?
No idea.
I don't know either.
You have any interest in listening to it?
No.
No?
None. I just know his next episode is probably going to be all about why he deserves Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to expand on it and just...
bring someone else on who agrees with them that could really back him up?
Yeah, Baron Davis. Yeah, isn't that what you think? That's what he brought in Baron Davis for, just to go ahead and pat him on the back. That's it. We'll get into the Warriors later on in the show. As Draymond wants to be Defensive Player of the Year, and I don't know if he's going to be out there helping to block enough shots. That might be one issue that the Golden State Warriors have to worry about. They cannot go ahead and make that change. I think it's a little too late in the season to get bigger. Speaking of changes, I alluded to this prior to the break last hour. The NFL, now that we've got the official start of the year, we're about to have league meetings and all the owners are going to get together, and the GMs and the coaches, everybody's going to pat each other on the back, and they're going to vote on some changes for the upcoming season. Because when you're a billionaire and you own a team and there's 32 of you, you can pretty much just smoke cigars, eat fine food, and just tell each other how great you are. But then there's also going to be, they're going to talk football. They're going to think about some of the changes they can actually make to improve the game. And some of these changes that they will vote on, we've heard, is some are new. So, for instance, the Detroit Lions, after playing in and continuing to play in what is going to be a ridiculously competitive division, especially as the Chicago Bears improve, the Lions want the playoff seedings to simply be based on the regular season record, not guaranteeing a home playoff game just for division winners. And so the Lions are basically saying, hey, if we got the second best, the best record here, then we need a home playoff game. We don't need to go on the road to play against a team that we have a better record than, and they play in a different division. And so they still believe that, hey, if you have the number one overall seed, that you go ahead and you can get a bye. But that everybody else, hey, if you lose out on your division and you're awesome, you don't lose out on a home game. So the Detroit Lions have asked for that change. I kind of shrugged my shoulders at it. Is it the biggest issue in the world? No. I can understand why the Lions want to change it. I certainly do. Why do they want to go on the road and play against, I don't know, Washington? They got a better record than Washington. And so they want it to just simply be based on the seedings. But I still think there's something to be said about, you know, going out there on a year-to-year basis and just flat out winning your division. We saw the Minnesota Vikings go ahead and stink with their opportunity. Hickey, how you feel about that? You think they should change that? Keep it the same. It's not that big a deal. How often are we going to have an issue like that?
Not often. But, I mean, I don't hate it in the sense of, like, I mean, we almost just saw, like I said, with the Vikings and Lions, like if you are 2-3 wins better, why are you going on the road? You know, if you're in a tough division, for example, in this year with the NFC North, like, I don't mind, I guess, not getting punished for being in the toughest division in the league when other teams get home games for, as we've seen in the past, that have under 500 records. You want to make it? Fine. I think, though, going on the road and rewarding at least the four teams with the best record for home games in round one, I think is fair.
Yeah, but it is fair. But I'm more on the side of life ain't always fair. So get over it. Like, why are we going to adjust something for an occasion that might happen or take place, what, once every few years? So we just need to go ahead and just change it completely? I think if you beat the living hell out of the teams in your division, I guess I don't want to put it in the same place of college football, where now we look at the importance or less of an importance and winning, you know, a conference championship versus what we have in the NFL. Like, you got to play the teams in your division. Beat the living hell out of them. Beat them. Have a better record than them. And if you do, then you can go ahead and have home field for the playoffs, at least in that first round. So in that respect, I say, why change it? Don't you lessen the importance of playing in your division if we're now not going to award the winner a home game?
I mean, potentially, but I mean, I don't think that's, I mean, there still are important games. Like, yeah. I mean, winning your division still guarantees a playoff spot, whether it's at home or on the road. Like, yeah, I still think it's important to win the division.
If you beat the living hell out of your teams in your own division, right? Then you shouldn't be penalized because somebody else in another division couldn't win theirs.
I know it's different leagues, so it's tougher. But, like, okay, look at the Bills and the AFC East, right? I mean, the Patriots ran it for the most part. The AFC East has had one good team.
For the now, Pats.
Right? Like, now it's the Bills. Before it's the Patriots. And for the most part, the other three teams were not very good. So, like, why is it okay for a team, by the way, luck of the draw, and I guess luck of geography where you're located, that you're put in a division with 2-3 crappy teams that can't figure it out for decades at a time?
Not their fault.
Right, but it's like, but then, like, if you're the Vikings, why should you get punished of, I got to play on the road, not because I wasn't good, but because I won 14-3, and just so happened that a team with, you know, the best record in the NFC, they were also in our division. We lost to them by one game. They won 15 games, and now we have to go on the road. Even though we have three more wins on the Rams, we still got to go on the road.
Yeah, do a better job with your quarterback at the end of the game next time, okay?
No sympathy.
Tough luck. Tell Sam Darnold to get it together next time, okay?
Although Arizona, LA, Minnesota, I don't think that game's changing for the Vikings' perspective in that playoff game.
You're right. Yeah, so I mean, but at least to win the division, tell them to get it together next time. As simple as that. Well, that's one change. This is one change that we've discussed as well. This ain't changing. The Packers formally want to ban the tush push. And we have gone through this. They're soft. The Packers president Murphy is being soft. And this is the NFL. And he's being soft. This is not tiddlywinks. This is not hopscotch. These guys are hitting each other in the mouth. And I know people called us up. Oh, it's a rugby play. It's not a football play. Man, they playing football. Okay, it's a football play. And if the other teams can't stop it, then that's their problem. You know, it does take skill to execute this damn thing. And if it wasn't so skillful, and if it was so easy, and everybody would do it, but nobody can. Well, not to the degree and to the success rate that the Philadelphia Eagles do. I remember Nick Sirianni, he said this a couple of weeks ago at the NFL Combine. He talked, pardon my take, and he said, listen, folks, the NFL banning the tush push is unfair to us because we actually work at it.
Insulted because we work hard at that thing, and like it's automatic. Well, it's automatic because of the work that's put in and because of the players that we have that are performing it. It's not automatic like throughout the entire league, right?
Right.
It's not okay. Well, Steph Curry shouldn't be allowed to shoot threes. Only in the fourth quarter can Steph Curry shoot three. Like, what are we talking about? You can't just make a rule up because. Right, it's benefiting one team and everywhere else it's not quite as good. I mean, we saw it in one of the championship games. They got one of the teams got stuffed on it and turnover and downs. And the game over.
Yeah, it's easy. Other people always want to complain if they can't do it. I can't do it, so you can't do it either. Ban it. That's a dumb idea. Green Bay Packers are worried about the wrong thing. Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to switch things up. They want to be allowed to talk to players during the legal tampering period and not just the agents. So as it stands right now, those 3 days between that Monday and that Wednesday, you know, the teams can talk to the agent, but they can't talk to the players. The Pittsburgh Steelers want to be able to have at least one communication with the player. They want to make their pitch. I don't know if this is related to Aaron Rodgers and how damn long that he has taken here in the process. The Steelers want at least to have one meeting with the players and not just the agent, which I think is reasonable if the player wants to do so. And why not? The player is the one who's going to make the decision, and the agent works for the player. So why the hell not? This one is actually good, this final. Speaking of a Pennsylvania team and the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, when it comes down to overtime, they want everybody to get a chance at the ball, to get a chance to score in overtime, regardless of who scores first, just like we have in the playoffs. The Philadelphia Eagles want to switch things up. If a team scores a touchdown on the first possession, you still get a chance to score a touchdown. You get the ball and have an opportunity. Why not? My only concern there is, how much more extra football do we need in a regular season? I'm saying. Like, it's not the postseason. This does not need to be, you know, sudden death, lose or go home. Like, we got more games. And I don't think this is going to lead to, you know, more ties or less ties when it comes down to the games. It's just going to stretch these games out. If you're asking me, I love football, but the games are long enough. Do we need more football? They already want to add an 18th game before we know it. And so I understand the rule. I respect the rule. I think it is certainly going to get changed. I think we will see both teams with an opportunity to score. It'll happen. Is it necessary? No. Hickey, what do you say? I say these games are too damn long as it is. Let's get it over with.
I thought player safety was an issue.
Oh, crap.
No, I'm just like, right now, like, I also don't understand, like, why the people feel like now it's impossible to stop offenses. And so if you get the ball first, it's automatic game over. Football, they keep saying it's a team sport, rely on your defense.
But I think it is, I think the number is 70% of the time, the team that won the coin toss and gets the ball first wins.
But that doesn't also mean that they, you know, score first. You can get a stop, get the ball back, field goal, you get a stop. Like, all you're asking them to do, the defense, that is, in the regular season, is just not allow a touchdown. That's all you're asking them. One drive, don't allow a touchdown. That to me is easy. Like, that's a fair ask. If you can't do that, then you don't deserve to win the game.
Yeah. And I'm saying the overtime period is supposed to be, y'all two have played. You've already played 60 minutes. Like, let's just get it over with at this point. Neither one of you are good enough to win, and so now we get some extra time. And I hear it will all for the excitement. But, I mean, after what is this now going to be? 3.5 hours? Almost 4 hours? Like, let's just get to it and get it over with. Like, make regulation feel like something. And I don't have to be a rocket scientist. All things considered and outside the realm of competition, those players don't want to play an additional 10 or 15 minutes. The coaches don't want to be out there for another 10 or 15 minutes. And unless this happens to be one of the most entertaining games ever where everybody's on the edge of their seats and they just want more, I don't think a lot of the fans are going to be wanting to sit around going, oh, my God, we got more. We couldn't get the job done. Like, yeah, more football is fine and okay, but every overtime? Shiki had another great point. Player safety? Well, we know the NFL doesn't care about that. They just want the bread. They want the money. They want 18 games. What is it going to be? 20 years from now? 15 years from now, we're going to have 20 NFL games? That wouldn't shock me either. Crazy world that we live in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need to let you know that Uber Eats is delivering game day deals from hundreds of your local favorites all week. Order now on Uber Eats. Product availability varies by region. See app for details. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, speaking of making changes and making proposals, the Dallas Cowboys haven't made a contract offer to Micah Parsons yet. What are they waiting on? We'll get into that. We'll talk about the Steelers' next quarterback at the top of the hour, March Madness. We got a lot to do. The JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Right before we went to break, we talked about some of these changes that will be discussed at the upcoming NFL meetings of the owners. It's going to take place at the end of the month, at the beginning of April. And some of these proposed changes are, you know, the seedings for the playoffs won't be determined by the division winners, but they'll be determined strictly by record. That's proposed by the Lions, who play in a tough division. The Packers want to ban the tush push. The Steelers want to be able to talk to players during the tampering period, not just their agents. And the Eagles, well, the Eagles want to play more football. I guess you do what you want when you're the champs. They want everybody, both teams, to get a chance to score in overtime, just like the playoffs. And I'm just like, damn, it's a lot of football. Let's just get it over with. Try to win in regulation, and if you don't, whoever gets the ball after that wins. It's simple as that. If they score, they win. Keep it moving. I wasn't upset when they just had the field goal. Now you got to score a touchdown and automatically win. It's just too much. Get the damn games over. We've had 60 minutes of it already. And so with all of these proposed changes, I think that the overtime rule will be the one that actually takes shape and happens. And tush push, I don't think, is getting banned. And change in the divisions and the records and the seedings, that's not changing. And so we'll see. We'll find out soon enough. Speaking of change, or at least a proposal, You know, over the past several weeks, we've seen people change their minds. In the case of Myles Garrett, didn't want to be a Cleveland Brown until they threw a lot of money at him, $40 million per year. And then before Myles Garrett got his $40 million a year, we saw Max Crosby go out and sign his big deal, paying him $35.5 million per year. And so if you're thinking about edge rushers, if you're thinking about guys who are getting paid to go ahead and wreck the quarterback, there's one team that still hasn't locked up their defensive end, their outside linebacker. That's the Dallas Cowboys. Apparently, the Dallas Cowboys haven't even offered Michael Parsons a new deal. We know the Dallas Cowboys like to wait until the final minute, until the last second. I guess at this point, they're like, who else is getting paid? We're screwed at this point. Take a listen to this. Yahoo Sports NFL reporter Jory Epstein, he talked about how the Cowboys, they're waiting to pay Micah. Well, what's the holdup?
I think what's interesting about Micah Parsons is when you talked about this at the combine with people, I had people say, oh, Micah's going to want $40 million. And at the time, Justin Jefferson's $35 million was the highest paid contract for a non-quarterback in the NFL. Well, now we see Ja'Marr Chase getting more than that. We see Myles Garrett getting more than that. And the jump was not 35 to 36 to 37. It was 35 to 40 to 40.25. So there were two elements of what people thought Micah Parsons wanted. The first being highest paid non-quarterback. The second being no deal until Myles Garrett and TJ Watt had their deal, because they believed that that would be a reset of the market and that it would inch it up. So I think that TJ Watt's actually the next one. Let's say he gets 40.5, since we're just going up in little increments now. And then you have David Mulugeta, who represents Micah Parsons, who's going to say, well, my guy's younger, he's better, he's got more left in the tank. You have to realize that this Micah Parsons negotiation can get pretty crazy. To me, the question is not whether it gets crazy, it's when this really heats up.
Oh, training camp. Middle to end of July. Is he showing up to work? Is he not showing up to work? How much money is he going to get to show up to work? Like, this is the Dallas Cowboys way. They should have given this guy a contract, I don't know, like last year. And they wouldn't be in this position, but the Dallas Cowboys always have to play a game of high stakes. Ultimately, Jerry Jones ends up being a loser. I get it. You're a highest value team and all of professional sports on planet Earth. But do the wins and the losses indicate that on the field? The answer is no. I mean, you could be the most valuable. You could be worth $10 billion, $11 billion. You could be worth $12 billion. But what good is it if you're not actually winning on the football field? And having these decisions where you drag out every negotiation is just, it's got to be painstaking if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Like, think about this for a second. Michael Parsons is another professional athlete with a podcast. What is he going to be doing as training camp comes around? And he's not at work. And Jerry Jones is saying crazy things out in California while they're supposed to be training. Or at least he's not training. What are we going to have, a war of words between Jerry Jones at a press conference and Michael Parsons on his podcast? The answer is yes. And if you are Michael Parsons, it's in his best interest to hold out. Like, to make this a big media spectacle. Because this is one case where the athlete doesn't show up to work. Then I think the general public, I think they'd be in favor of the athlete. You know, a lot of cases you get, oh, the athletes are greedy. Oh, the athletes want too much money. Oh, how can you turn this down? People know Jerry Jones operates in his own world, on his own planet. It's hard to say. I don't want to go as far as calling Micah Parsons a sympathetic figure. But I don't think anybody looks at Jerry Jones and goes, I'm on that guy's side. Maybe his son, and that might be about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dallas Cowboys doing stupid things. They're doing that with a guy who's already on their team. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to figure out, Is Aaron Rodgers going to be their quarterback? Or do they have to look elsewhere? We'll get into that. Top of the hour. Talk about the top six March Madness upsets of all time. We got a lot more to do.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. March Madness is upon us. The games are underway, at least the first four. We got a full slate of games tomorrow and Friday as America will lose all sense of responsibility. And right now, as you just heard, Mount St. Mary's, the Mountaineers, they lead the American Eagles 48-38. So we'll keep you up to date on that matchup as things continue on. Later tonight, we'll have Xavier versus the Texas Longhorns. Let's get to your phone calls at the top of the hour. We're going to talk about some of the biggest upsets that we've ever seen in March Madness history. It's a new top six list. I'm going to tell you the biggest upsets. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We have Avery calling up from Michigan. Avery, you're on the JR Sport Brief show. What's on your mind?
Hey, JR. How you doing?
I'm excellent. What's up?
So I want to talk about the UC San Diego versus the Michigan game coming up.
Okay, go for it.
So I think with Danny Wolf and Vlad Goldin, I think Michigan should win this game unless we get into turnover trouble because we've been known to turn over the ball 14, 15 times a game.
Well, let me ask you, let's break this down a little easier. I got a simpler solution. Have you ever seen UC San Diego play?
Very rarely. I've seen clips of them.
You've never seen them play.
Very, very slim, but no, yes, you're right, sir.
Okay. Now, all things considered, you talk about the big Russian that came over from Florida Atlantic with Dusty May. You talk about Vlad Goldin. You take a look at Dusty. You think about a team that is playing in its first ever game in March Madness. You know, if I'm Michigan, you know what I'm not worried about? And sure, you got to go out there and play. I'm not worried about UC San Diego. I don't care. Like, nobody's ever seen them play. Nobody. You haven't seen them. I haven't seen them. Only their parents have seen them play.
Right.
Don't worry about turnovers, okay? Worry about things further on down the line. I wouldn't worry about this game unless you just want to be afraid of something, okay?
Yes, sir.
You got it.
I also want to thank you because you've been giving me more inspiration. I'm wanting to do sports radio.
Yeah, listen, man, go make all the money in the world. Make sure you do online, too, okay?
Yes, sir.
I use online to do more. Hey, thank you, Avery. Take it easy.
Yep, you too, sir.
Thank you so much. Hickey, look at that, right? Yesterday, an Uber driver said I was mean, and today a young man called me an inspiration. How about that?
You are inspiring America's youth, one kid at a time.
Look at that. Life is all about balance. Now I just need me an adult to curse me out for balance, okay? Let's see. Hickey, is Sean from Michigan. Is he going to curse me out? I hope so.
Me too.
I hope so too. Hey, Sean, you're on the JR Sport Brief show. What's up?
You know why certain people are blessed with great voices?
No.
To be on the radio, and you have one of the best voices on radio. And I mean that completely.
Well, thanks.
And I mean that completely.
Well,
I do.
Two compliments.
I mean that completely. I do. I mean that. Anyways,
yeah,
my idea for overtime in football is let the field goal kickers decide it like a shootout in hockey. You start at the 50-yard line. If you kick it, you make it. The other guy catches the other way. You make them back it up. And, you know, what's the difference?
Man. You want these
kickers. You know, let the guys, they already worked their butts off for like many minutes. Let the kickers do their job. Show what's up.
Okay, Sean.
Let the kickers win the game.
All right. Well, they do technically win the game in a lot of cases. Thank you, Sean.
Right.
Man.
Yeah, but think about it. Isn't that an easy way to solve a tie?
I have thought about it. I'm going to give you a response right now, okay?
Right.
All right, thank you, Sean. We're going to have so many pulled hamstrings. We're going to have so many pulled hamstrings. And thank you so much, Sean, for calling from Michigan. He said shootout. I was thinking about football. Not football. I was thinking about soccer first, like a penalty shootout. because these are kickers. I didn't think about it like, you know, using your stick. Do we want kickers kicking more? Like, what should they go? Kick for kick? I don't know. It's too much of an injury risk. Like, even for the best kicker. I mean, unless your name is Sebastian Janikowski and you just go out there and kick and kick and kick and kick and kick some more. I don't know about that. Hickey, you like that idea?
I'm intrigued. I think it'd be good theater.
How many kicks? You have? It would be. How many kicks do you want to see, though?
I mean, at this point, I think the more the merrier. It's like a shootout. If it keeps on going, or soccer, same thing. You're on like round eight.
How many? No, we don't want to see nobody kick it for that long.
No?
What, 3 out of 7? Like, I don't know. Well, not 3 out of 7. 4 out of 7?
The problem is, like, when you go further back, what if they start missing it? That's where it gets interesting.
Well, they're going to start missing, right?
Moving back closer.
Can a human being kick a football further than 65 yards? Is that, you know, that's a lot to ask for, right? 70 yards?
Well, Lane Kiffin thinks he can kick one for like 80 yards. Certain kickers.
That's Lane Kiffin has issues. We know that. I think about the injury aspect. If I can understand it from an entertainment value piece, you're right. It would be amazing. And that would be unique. I think that's better than like the XFL. How did they decide possession? Was it like a scrum they did or something? Oklahoma drill?
Oh, was it the scrum where you put the ball in the middle of the field and you run for it? Is that what they did?
I don't know. Maybe 20 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what the XFL. I think, but I feel like one of the new leagues tried, or maybe it was the XFL 2.
Right.
They tried to bring that back. But the XFL 1, I think, nailed that.
It's different. It's interesting. I give them credit for that. But it would be more interesting if the kickers kicked. But I don't think there's only but so much you can have before, like, you got a guy out there giving it his all and he blows his leg up. And then you got to go, man, I'm missing my best kicker for the rest of the year because I tried to win in overtime. I don't know. I don't know about that. Entertainment, yes. You got a stadium full of 60, 70, 80, 90,000 people screaming and yelling at a kicker. The kicker is out there by himself having to go and kick. You can see it is great theater, as Hickey said. It would be absolutely amazing to watch. I just don't know if the teams would be down for it based on the injury risk. It's a good idea by Sean from Michigan. Maybe the XFL can try that out. Which, by the way, it's March 19th. I still don't know if we got spring football. I got to go ahead and look that one up. Anyway, speaking of the NHL, thank you, Sean, for bringing that up. The NHL, we talked about all these proposals in the NFL for the rules. The NHL says that we're going to take an approach of trying to figure out how we can keep the All-Star game entertaining. We saw this year we had the Four Nations Tournament. We didn't have no East versus West. We didn't have no slapstick games. And we got the Winter Olympics coming up in 2026. You know, we'll have the New York Islanders who will go out and host the All-Star game. And so they're trying to figure out how to keep things juiced up and not lose any of the momentum. How they do that, I have absolutely no idea. I don't think the NHL knows that. But Gary Bettman, back on ESPN in February, he says, this was amazing what we did. Now they got to figure out how to keep it going.
They love playing for their NHL teams. They love playing for their international teams. And so hockey players are really special when it comes to that level of passion and commitment to the game. What I'm gratified by is how well this has been received, not just by hockey fans, by sports fans in general.
Well, people love it. Now they just got to figure out, well, how can you put four teams together representing, you know, four different countries? We saw that Canada just beat the United States of America. You know, how you go about splitting that up every year and keeping it fresh, I don't know if you can. I think you do have to alternate because it's so special. It's like, well, we can't do it every year. I think it saps some of the juice. And there aren't enough countries that are represented. I mean, what are we going to do? Hickey, what are they going to do? Russia versus USA? I don't know if that's a good idea.
That'll get some juice. That'll bring some attention for sure.
Yeah, well, we saw what happened with Canada. We were getting booed there. And I saw that there was a proposal that the what is it, out in Russia, the KHL and NHL play some games. The NHL's like, whoa, we don't got nothing to do with that. It's like, we stopped dealing with them. How are you going to suggest that we go ahead and do games? It's we living in a wild world right now. As great as it would be to have the four nations every year, I think you probably stick to every 2 years, kind of alternating alongside the Olympics, just so you keep some juice. As great as it was, you want people to clamor. You want people to want. And I think you still want to reward some of the cities all across North America and bless them with an all-star game. Give them a traditional game and then continue to alternate. I think that'd be a better idea. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's that time of the day. It's Wednesday, March 19th. Let me say it again. It's Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I bring you a new top six list. And in a matter of minutes, the top of the hour, I'm going to share with you the biggest upsets in March Madness history. It's a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest upsets that we've ever seen in March. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.